In the meditations of my heart, be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I'll laugh with you, probably louder. I will share your joy and sorrow till we've seen this journey through. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. I couldn't go far from that song when I saw the readings for the gospel this week. I was at a boarding school and we went through a whole myriad of chaplains, not because of us, just because of the way things were. And one of them was Brother Bruce Poor, a Franciscan monk, who came among us, and this was one of the very first songs he shared with us, and he explained about the life of a monk. And when I hear it, I picture him and I think about their devotion, their way of life, how full of it is, how full it is of prayer and worship. And that's what I thought about first and foremost when I saw our reading today. When it comes to greatness and how society views others, it is clear that a person will be congratulated and elevated due to their success, be that financial success, academic success, professional success, and other tangible signs that their life is more comfortable and secure than others. When it comes to climbing the social ladder, no one strives to be at the bottom, serving everybody else. Greatness is climbing to the top. Greatness is how many people you have answering to you. Greatness is power. Greatness is sitting in the boardroom and telling someone, you're fired. But God has an upside down approach to life. God has set up a spiritual kingdom in an upside down sort of way. God loves to contradict how the world thinks. In God's upside down kingdom, the greatest person is not the person who is at the top, who is in charge of everyone else and can tell everyone else what to do. In God's kingdom, the greatest person is one who is at the bottom. It is the one who has the most people over them, who answers and serves everyone. In God's kingdom, that's greatness. Doesn't that seem strange? It must have seemed strange to Jesus' disciples when they heard the gospel reading for today. They had a completely different picture of greatness. They believed, just like everyone else, that Jesus had come into the world to help the Jews overthrow the Roman government. Someday, Jesus would re-establish the glorious kingdom of Israel and he would be in charge. And we, the 12 apostles, will be at his side. We're going to be the 12 vice presidents. We're going to be in charge of everybody. So why was Jesus so concerned with servants and their role? Later in his ministry, Jesus went on to demonstrate that even he was not going to avoid the duties of a servant. He would model the role of a servant king. He would sit among sinners, touch the untouchables, and wash his disciples' feet. For today, Jesus is explaining that living faith-filled lives is not going to be something that appeals to the world and is not something we should be looking to in order to receive praise. When we understand our relationship with God, it is not simply our duty to serve, it is to be our joy also. Jesus is trying so very hard to help his disciples to understand what faith is in an environment where they were used to their relationship with God being moderated by the law. In the law, there was room for status and social greatness. In the law, there was provision made with the assumption that there would be free people and slaves in unequal relationships. There would be Jews and Gentiles separated by rules and regulations. Jesus came to teach what living by faith might look like. And we've come to know and understand it looks and feels amazing. To have faith the size of a mustard seed is enough to move a mulberry tree into the sea. This is impressive stuff. To live by faith is to be in a position of power. Yet, after describing the power of a faith-filled life, Jesus makes it clear that what his disciples will do in response to their faith would be nothing like the use and abuse of power seen in wider society. Not only will those who live by faith live lives of service, that service will not be rewarded or claimed. Rather, it will be as though these disciples are slaves among the people, doing their duty and seeing it not as an offering or a gift for which they should receive thanks, but merely as the fulfillment of their relationship with God. It fulfills our relationship with God because God has already served us. God has already set us the example. We serve because we have been served. That's why we worship God, not because God is so great in a general big God sort of way. We worship God because the Word of God incarnate came to earth and came to us to serve us as our Saviour. And today, Jesus invites us to pursue greatness this way, or his way. If you want to be great, Jesus says, then be someone's servant. Put yourself below someone else. Tie a child's shoelace. That's greatness. Serve the people living in your home. Serve the people who attend here at church. There are all kinds of ways. Give of your time, talents, and resources for the good of others. That's what this whole idea of stewardship is about, understanding what wonders God has done for us and continues to do and responding to it as we see fit. We know if we recognize God's upside-down approach to loving us by responding with an hour on a Sunday and the loose change from the bottom of our pocket at the end of the week, we surely don't do God justice. If, however, we respond to God's unbelievable tendency to put us, even us, by grace, in a place where we receive God's blessing with actions of deliberate service and charity in God's name, then surely we have understood what it means to be countercultural in God's upside-down worldview. Do we dare put ourselves below other people? Will we be like Christ that way? It might look very great in the eyes of the world, but who cares what the world thinks? We are called to be servants, humble, lowly, kind, and gentle servants to others, just as Christ has been to us. This is how we live by faith. This is how we share that faith in our actions. What I believe Jesus is saying is that it's not great faith that we need, but faith in a great God. Faith can be compared to a window you look through. It doesn't matter if the window is 6 feet high or 6 inches or just the tiniest peephole in a telescope. What truly matters is the God that your faith is looking out on. What the story from the gospel, I believe, is saying to us today is that our vision of God is too small. Each one of us lives a life filled with challenges, difficulties, and struggle. We live in a time where there's much political upheaval and uncertainty. It can sometimes make us feel insecure, worn out, even despairing. But we as Christians also have another life, a more hidden life, but one filled with power and promise. St. Paul knew this and put it beautifully in the letter to the Ephesians. My life, my truest life, he said, is hidden with Christ in God. Jesus himself had two lives, one in the public gaze, preaching, teaching, healing, the other more hidden. At night he would go up into the mountains to be alone with his Father. Having visited the Holy Lands myself, I can imagine him gazing up at the stars at many of the landmarks in the Gospels, renewing his vision of the greatness of his Father, the greatness of his mission. We too have this other life, the life of faith. It is as if we are citizens of two countries. Legally, many of us probably are. Citizens or residents of this country, but also of another country. As Paul reminds the Philippian Christians, our citizenship is in heaven. There is a wonderful line in Shakespeare's King Lear, where Lear says to his daughter Cordelia, "We'll think about the mysteries of the universe as if we were God's spies." I love that image of being God's spy. For a spy apparently lives an ordinary life, but he or she has another life, a hidden life. He or she has a deeper allegiance to another country. As a priest, I like to think of myself as God's spy on a mission, watching for the signs of God's work in the world, listening to others and helping them also to come to know this other country and how to enter it, this great country, the kingdom of God. And it's always such a blessing to be with others who also have this other life, who also belong to this other country, which is why it is so good to come together this morning to share in worship. But the challenge to us who are citizens of two countries is to constantly renew our vision of our heavenly country. We spend most of our time and thought in this world, and the concerns of this life can crowd out and make us almost forget that other life, our life hidden with Christ and God. This is why it is so important every day to renew our vision of God, to deepen our relationship with God, just as Jesus did every night on the mountainside. To spend time with God every day and, as it were, put our eye to the tiny lens of the telescope and to look out at the magnificent glory of our God, to renew our vision of how great and loving God, to receive the strength and power from that other country so that we can live in this country with faith and trust and hope. Today, on the Lord's Day, we gather together, we citizens of two countries, God's spies, and we celebrate together our life in this world, but also our other life, our life hidden with Christ in God. The climax of our worship is the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. And it is in the Eucharist when Christ becomes present to us in bread and wine. that these two countries, earthly and heavenly, come together. The present moment is shot through with the timeless. Heaven and earth are joined together and our two worlds become one. As you come to receive the body and blood of Christ, I invite you to ask him to renew your vision, that your heavenly life, hidden with Christ in God, may become powerfully real, and that you may gaze out and with the eyes of faith see our great God in all his power, majesty and glory. And when you find it's hard to know how to attain greatness in the eyes of God, remember this prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not ask for reward, save that of knowing that we do your will. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.